Switch around to different places. We like to one-up each other on introductions. So I'll get you next time, and I'll make you cry before you get up here. How about that? Will you do me a favor? Will you turn to the person next to you, and will you just say this? Mayfair is a more joyful place tonight because you are here. Will you do that for me? I hope that when you said that you meant it. I hope you just weren't following instructions. And I hope that you know the person you're sitting next to enough where you can say that. And if you don't, make sure you get to know them before you leave. As a church this size, there's bound to be people that just don't know each other. There's a wonderful passage in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So tonight, you need to know that there is no law against being joyful. Nothing wrong with it at all. In fact, there's nothing wrong with you smiling tonight. And I can't see you very well, but if you put your teeth out there, I can know you're there. There's no reason not to be happy tonight because you're here, you're alive, you've got people that are surrounding you that love you and care for you. What a great time to be alive. Amen? It's just great. Can we sing one quick little fun song together? You ready? Okay. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart, I've got the joy, 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 joy. Down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Isn't that a great song? I don't know why we stopped singing that when we're seven. I think we should sing that every day. What a great thing to be able to sing that. I remember the first time I went to Honduras, we sang that song. And they'd go to the where part and they'd go, ¿Dónde? And it just sounded so odd, you know, but... I want to tell you something tonight. We just read a passage from Galatians chapter 5, and joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so tonight you need to understand that joy is a fruit. And if you are even remotely intelligent, you understand that fruit doesn't just appear, that fruit has to grow. And tonight, I know that there are some people in here who probably don't want to hear a message of joy. I know that there are people here tonight who are struggling. There's probably someone here today that got fired from their job. There's probably someone here today that got some bad news. Maybe recently you've had a loved one pass away. Maybe you've recently been diagnosed with something that doesn't look all that bright in the future. Perhaps maybe before you came here tonight, you had a big fight with your spouse. Or maybe your children wouldn't cooperate with you and you just feel like you're the worst parent in the world. I understand that sometimes you don't want to hear a message of joy. But what I want you to do tonight is I want you to take an imaginary seed, and I just want you to plant it in your heart. Can you go ahead and just pluck it out of the air? It's fine. I can see some of you not doing this, okay? You pluck it out and just put it on your heart. Plant this seed, and hopefully by the end of tonight, maybe some joy will have grown in your heart. If not tonight, maybe when you get home, tomorrow morning when you wake up, or it may take a while, because sometimes fruit takes a while to grow. So I want you to understand that I totally understand that sometimes joy isn't an immediate thing. Tonight we're going to talk about joy. We're going to talk about this joy and how we get it by abiding in Christ. We're going to talk about how Christ lives inside of us and we live in Him. And this hopefully creates some joy. At the Wydeck House this year, we did a little renovation. Not inside, we did outside. We started in January. We have a home, and in Nashville, there are lots of hills. If you've ever been to Nashville, there's not many flat lots. And so we have one of these lots that slopes towards the back and runs into some woods. And, well, it's kind of a useless backyard. And so we get this bright idea of doing some renovation. We had a deck that was there, but it was really small, little contractor special. And so we decided, save some money up. We're going to add on to the deck, and we do that. And because the yard is sloped and not very useful in that way, we put in a little terraced garden. And it's not very fancy. It's just stones, but it's really pretty. And my wife planted some vegetables in there this year. It looks really nice. And a lot of fun to do this project. And then they finally get done. It took them a lot longer than what they expected. And I remember the last day that our contractor was there, he called me and said, "I'm all done. Let me know what you think when you get home." So I called my wife because I was still in the office. I said, "Honey, how's it look? Is it great?" She was like, "Eh." "What? We just paid a lot of money to do this. What do you mean, eh?" Well, you see, my wife has watched one too many HGTV specials. Okay? And you know, on those shows, in 30 minutes, they transform something, and when they're done, it's done. It's perfect. And she said, "I was expecting it to be perfect." Well, you know, when you do construction, you have dirt that's exposed and rocks and whatnot, so we had to bring in some sod. And we had never done sod before. And I'll never do sod again after doing this. If you understand about sod, you've got to water it all day long. Every day of the week. A lot. Just over and over. I felt like I spent my entire day watering the backyard. I did everything that I was supposed to do. I'd stay out there for 30, 40 minutes at a time watering the backyard. And you know what? It grew. And it looked beautiful. And it was green, and it was thick, and it was lush, and it was actually starting to reseed itself. And it was just amazing to watch this process take place. And so as the summer progresses, it's time for church camp. My wife and my daughter and I, we all went to church camp for a week thinking, "Well, the grass is great." Plus, it had already rained like 20 inches in the week before, and so we were good. The week of camp was the hottest, driest week in the history of mankind. We come home, and there's patches of brown all around. Great. All of that work for nothing. So I start watering it. I put some dirt out there to help it, put some fertilizer on it to help it grow a little bit, and it started to come back a little bit, and everything was looking better. And then I had a trip where I got to go over to the Middle East this summer. I went to Israel for 2 weeks, and so my wife looked at me, she said, "Well, what do I need to do?" I said, "Well, I think it's good. You can water it if you want to." I came home. Nope. Dead. Brown. Looked like we had never put anything on there. Well, here's what happened. I found out that with sod, because it's new on a surface that it's never been on before, if you water it a lot, that's great, but you can't water it shallow. You have to water it deep. You have to soak it, and you have to soak it a lot. I had been watering for 30, 40 minutes at a time, but I was just kind of having fun, you know, spraying it, making sure I covered everything. And what was happening was the roots were growing very shallow. They weren't growing deep. And so whenever I stopped watering it, it didn't have anything to grab hold of. It had nothing to live in because it was so, so shallow. That resonated with me for quite a while. If I had just stuck with it, if I had just made it soak deeper, if I had just given it more, it would have thrived. It would have lived. It would have been complete. All it needed was something to live in, and I hadn't given it a place to live. It was only living in the little surface soil that it had come with. It didn't grow into our grass, into our ground at home. It really made me think a lot about us and our relationship with Christ. You know, when we become Christians, something similar happens, right? We become Christians, we get excited, we experience joy, everything's great, and we look great, and everybody's thinking, "Man, they're alive. Everything's wonderful for them." But a lot of times, right after we become a Christian, we get a whole lot of shallow
I'm here for you. I'm praying for you. I'm going to be there for you. Whatever you need. And then after about a week or so, those things start to tail off. And then after a week or so, as a Christian, a new Christian, we don't really know where to turn. We don't know really where to look. And we've forgotten that the whole premise of becoming a Christian is that now we live in Christ. Our new life has only one purpose, and that is to live for Christ, live in Him, to do everything for Him. What a great word that is, abide. It's an old word. We don't say it all that often. To stay connected, to remain in unbroken fellowship. I just want you to think about what that means. Connected to God in such a powerful way. Connected in a deep, meaningful way. We're connected to a lot of people, aren't we? I am connected to Martina McBride. No, really, I am. About 10 years ago, my wife and I went to Target. They're in Nashville. Going through the checkout line, and I'm thirsty. And so I go over to the counter next door, and I grab a bottle of something out of the fridge, and I came back, and my wife said, "Wait, I think that's Martina McBride." And I said, "Who's Martina McBride?" I didn't know. And she was like, "No, she's a country music star." I'm like, "Okay. Well, whoever she is, she's buying 7 copies of that magazine, and she's on the cover of it." Because she was on the cover of the Red Book magazine there. So there we are, connected to Martina McBride. She's buying underwear for her daughter at Target. And here we are with a star. Fast forward about 7 years. Martina McBride lives on Franklin Road, okay? I drive on Franklin Road every day to go to the office, okay? No lie, 2 or 3 days a week, I pass Martina McBride on the way to the office. She drives a blue Volkswagen convertible Beetle. She's even waved at me. We're connected. Not really. It's a surface connection. I bring Martina McBride 0 joy. She has no idea who I am. And really and truly, she doesn't bring me much joy either because I don't like country music. A connection to God means something. And we are connected to God, and because we are connected to God, we have joy. And I want to explain that to you tonight. Jesus wants to make sure that we live in Him, we believe in Him, and that everything we do revolves around Him. Our attitude reflects Him. That's very important. We can't take a break from Him. We can't choose to say, "I live for you, Jesus, but I'm going to take a break here just for a moment." Now, back in the old days, okay, the 80s. Back in the 80s, there was this thing called a VCR, okay? But before the VCR, there was nothing. It was just TV. And do you remember you're watching a football game or you're watching a TV show and a commercial comes on and you have a decision to make? Do I have time to go to the restroom or not? Do I have time to go get a snack or not before the show comes back on? When we think about, do I have a moment to break away from Jesus or not? The answer is no. Because the moment you break away from Jesus is the moment you start to lose your joy. The text that Jason really assigned for me tonight, John chapter 15, verses 9 through 11. If you'll bear with me just for a moment. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Did you hear three key words there? Abide, love, and joy. These three things go hand in hand. I abide in Christ because he loves me and I love him. And when I do that, I have joy. Bottom line, end of story. I want to take you down a real quick journey to explain this love that Christ has for us. You see, Jesus loves his believers, and he's loved us with a very special love. This is the same love that the Father loved him with. Christ is the Father's Son. He's his only Son. So the Father loves him with a very natural love. God loves Jesus with an obedient love. He can't help but love Jesus because God is love. And on top of that, he loves Jesus for being obedient. What parent doesn't love it when their child is obedient? Makes it a lot easier, doesn't it? So we understand that. And then God loves Jesus with a supreme love. A supreme love because Jesus paid the supreme price of obedience. What John 15 says is that as the Father loves Jesus, Jesus loves us. So for all of those reasons, he loves us for the same things. So this love that we have and share together is wonderful. But his great charge for believers is to continue and to abide in his love. Sometimes people do really strange things, but one of the strangest things that I could even begin to think of is leaving the love of God. Leaving that presence of God. It doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you ever want to wander away from Jesus? Because of all of the things, you have to continue and abide in his love. But this continuing or abiding, it's very conditional. Because we can break fellowship with Christ. We can cease to keep our thoughts on Christ. We can walk away from the love of Christ. We can get away from the love of Christ. We can turn back to the world. We do all of these things on a regular basis. So Jesus said it's up to us to continue in his love. Christ always loves us. We're the ones that wander away. It's up to us to abide in his love. Abiding in the love of Christ also has a standard. It's a supreme example, and it's the example of Christ himself. Because of the way Jesus abided in the presence of the Father and did everything that he was supposed to do, this passage also says that if we abide in him, if we experience his love, that he's going to have a great gift for us. If you look at 15:11, it says, he completes our joy. He completes our joy. Christ has a great purpose for all of us who abide in him. And he wants to complete our joy. Joy, that inner gladness, that deep-seated pleasure. I don't really know how to explain joy. C.S. Lewis had a great way of explaining joy. He said in his book, Surprised by Joy, he describes joy as an unsatisfied desire, which is itself more desirable than any other satisfaction. I doubt whether anyone who has tasted it would ever, if both were in his power, exchange it for all the pleasures in the world. Have you experienced true joy? You see, joy is divine. Joy doesn't depend on circumstances or happenings. Joy, it springs from faith. It springs from a relationship we have. Joy is what we expect with the future rewards that are coming to us as believers. And even though the source of joy is abiding in Christ, when you start to abide in Christ and you live in Him, you're going to start finding sources of joy everywhere else, but not until you live in Him. You'll start to find joy in victory over sin, repentance. You'll start to find joy in reading God's Word. You'll start to find joy in obeying the commands of God. You'll start to find joy in prayer, and you'll start to find joy in just the presence of being with other people. I want to close with this. You'll never experience the joy of the Lord if you continue to live in the flesh instead of walking by the Spirit. You have to forget yourself and your self-centered schedule and all the things that are so important to us. You have to put God first and live in Him. Will you pray with me, please? God, living in You brings us such great joy. God, I love being able to sleep at night knowing that my future is secure with You. God, I love knowing that I have a hope of a better place than this world that has pain and suffering and sickness. God, I love knowing that I'm a slave to nothing and a servant to only You. God, I love knowing that I have community, that I can drive 2 hours south of my church home and experience joy with another church family. God, I love that I can find family wherever I go throughout the world because Your presence breaks down all barriers, language barriers, culture barriers. Your presence brings such joy. God, I love the fact that You became human and You lived a life. You don't just tell us how to live. You lived it and You know what it's like. God, that brings me such great joy. God, I love that this body is going to be resurrected. And it's going to be replaced with something so much better. God, I love being full and satisfied in Your love. God, help us tonight as we go away to understand that if we want joy, we have to come to You. We can't find it anywhere else. Thank You for Your Son. Your Son who said that we can have complete and full joy in Him. And it's through Him we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together.